Thank you all for tuning in. You're listening to A Woman's World with Purvisha, and I have improv storyteller and teacher Seema Sabnani with me here today. So Seema, you were just talking about this new collective of Asian American women who are doing improv with you. Before we talk a little bit about that, but have you performed before this experience, and what motivated you to put this collective together?
Right. I feel like performance has definitely been always part of my life in some shape or form. So I definitely thrive on performance. I enjoy that rush and that thrill that you get.
What's been your best moment performing? Can you describe it for us?
Yeah, definitely. I think in different genres, but I feel like, well, the recent one is I had a chance to perform at a UCL Upright Citizens Brigade performance that every class does. And that was just exciting because you're just so excited that you got something out there and you walked out on stage and said something and didn't completely blink. So that was exciting. That was a very recent one. But I feel like what always I gravitate towards are things that I really enjoy is when there's a performance, but there's an aspect of like a social justice aspect or this idea that, oh, this voice hasn't been heard or this story hasn't been shared. It's kind of the untold stories. So I know something that sticks out with me is that there was actually it was really beautiful in Toronto is where I was living briefly. There was amazing woman who started a company called Limitless Production. I was one of the dancers for, and she choreographed this beautiful piece about, like the hidden mental illnesses that people face.
Interesting.
And, I had a chance to kind of be part of that piece that was like dance, but also spoken word. And that was something that really resonated with me because it was just, again, one of those things that you rarely have a chance to talk about. And so those always stay in my head about like what excites me about performing.
And how did the audience react to that piece? I'm curious, like who came out to see it? What were some of the reactions that people had?
Yeah. Afterwards, it was interesting because no one really knew if it was my own personal story.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. So I had a lot of people come up to me and be like, oh, wow, I'm so sorry. You know, thank you for sharing your experience. And it was actually the artist who created this. It was just me being one of the artists to perform.
What was the experience in your character for that experience? What was it? Do you remember?
Yeah, no, I'm trying to remember. She actually, and I'm so sorry, I can't remember the technical, but she was suffering from seizures. And it was something that she was diagnosed. And I learned that a lot of women get diagnosed in their early 30s and late 20s. And then it ends up being that we're in relationships. They didn't have a chance to, like, it becomes where you can't have kids or like you have to be really careful. Certain jobs are not able to be done. There's a lot of things that you lose your independence when you're diagnosed with having. And I'm sorry, I can't think of the technical.
No worries, Seema. So it seems like, though, from what you're saying, what struck me is that people really respond to artists when they're talking about something deep and emotional or that is hidden sometimes, right? So, I mean, I think that is so important in terms of what you're saying about stories that are not told or what you were saying about these accents and characters that aren't really embodied. So with this new collective, what are some of the stories that you're hoping to share or in general, in terms of your work, what are you hoping to share in terms of stories?
I think it's, again, one of those untold stories. It's the idea that just the or even maybe the commonality of like the genuine emotions that come out, but you don't expect that from the people that you see always on stage or you don't see on stage. So I think hopefully kind of being true to the art of improv, I try not to have too many expectations of what comes up or what comes out. But that's what's exciting is that whatever comes out, the goal is to be as genuine as possible with that emotion. So whether it's the environment or the feelings that are there, that's what I want to see come out on stage.
Have you ever had a moment where you just felt like this isn't working? You know, you're like there and you're like, I don't know what to say. I don't know what to do.
No, which is a good thing.
That's amazing.
But what is interesting is that I think we all become our own harshest critics. And so it's always the moment, like, oh, I wish I could have said this, or I wish I could have, you know, had time to say something like this or delve a little deeper into something or a topic that did come up. But that's what excites me about this collective is that we're not stuck on one specific form. And that's what's been really innovative, is that we're not sticking to like long form improv or only sketch, or we've been exploring really cool prompts that have really delved into different stories that we've shared. So that really excites me, is hearing everyone's ideas that come out, and just hearing those stories, I think, is pretty powerful.
That sounds amazing, and like just a genuine group process in some way too. I mean, do you feel like, what do you feel like in terms of your own experiences as a South Asian woman influence what stories you want to share and tell?
Right, right. I think, and my goal, in that sense, my goal of even just being on stage or having women of color on stage, is my goal is that I want to be able to talk about things that are not talked about, whether it be about South Asian women, you know, going through not puberty, but like, you know, there's first sexual encounters, are there, you know, like the solidarity, the sisterhood, are just the common issues of relationships or not relationships, or dealing with body image, or all the different things that come up that I rarely see on a Lifetime movie. And I love that I'm bringing up Lifetime, but you know, you see all these different issues or challenges, but it's like, when do we get to see our faces going through these challenges? And that I think is really powerful, is that having that chance to talk about those stories that we all go through, but we don't see on media or on theater or in radio or any other form of media that we can maybe connect with and be like, we're not alone in this situation or in this moment.
I think that's so amazing. I was just watching, you know, this Hindi serial drama, and there's this moment of the wedding, and then, you know, the men are talking to the new husband about the wedding night. And, you know, I feel like these same stories get told and retold, right. And so much is so different now. And I think, you know, you talking about like some of these experiences that it would be good to share or to hear from our own community perspective is really fascinating. I mean, what do you feel like in terms of your own history drew you to thinking about telling these stories? Right. Or what stories do you feel like you miss in your own life?
Right. Well, I always think about, and I always come down to like, I wish I had a chance when I was in high school, or especially in high school, because there weren't that many South Asian women or even men in my high school. And it was definitely predominantly all more Caucasian. And I always wished that I had a chance to see or hear certain stories, you know, whether it be kind of some of the peer pressure that I was going through or, you know, the non-dating or non-existent dating that I was not allowed to have but had to hide, or any of those things. So I feel like that always pushes me, that I'm like, if I could put something out there for someone else, who might be in that situation, that, you know, in that idea that where they feel like they're alone, but they're not, that would be really thrilling for me to just have a chance to be like, okay, this, you know, I'm not alone in this. But in other things, I feel like a lot of situations, there's been a lot of very, sometimes, you know, positive, but also very traumatic things that have happened that are rarely talked about in families. And it's the idea of shame or hidden stories that, you know, only families keep on to. And I know from my own personal family experience, we never talked about certain things. And it was
such as,
yeah, no. And it's even like hard to even share it now, but like a lot of things of alcoholism in the family, definitely inappropriate touching or sexual molestation, all these things. And then I recently, in the past 3 years, was working with South Asian women at an after-school program in Queens. And I would lead a girls group. And one of the things that always came about were these issues of peer pressure, sexual molestation, you know, domestic violence, or issues or things that they've seen of power that always came up in these small groups. So it was amazing, but sad to me that this was probably the first time they had a chance to even speak out about it in a space that they felt safe in. And that really resonates with me. So it's the idea that if you can share your story, and even just sharing your story, whatever that may be, is powerful.
Thank you so much, Seema, for sharing that, because I feel like, you know, you're giving a model to everyone to break a silence in terms of some of these serious issues, which, you know, are hard to talk about, but I think, powerful when you do. So thank you for that.
Yeah, you're welcome. Thank you for having me on.
So I want to hear more in terms of, you're talking about this group of young girls that you worked with in one of your many experiences with nonprofits here. Can you tell us a little bit more about why working with young women is so powerful for you? And what changes do you see after some of the programs that you participated in and helped to lead?
Right. And I think, again, I think it goes back to like your own experiences, right? Mm. So like, I wish I had an experience or I had a group where it was a young women's group and definitely a young women's group of color. Mm. And that really just has a chance to kind of talk about identity, identity politics, self-care, all these things that are really helpful mm. growing up, especially in your teen years. So one of the reasons why I'm always gravitated towards women's groups is having that space to have those conversations. And then I think it's more so important that it's not just even having that conversation, but what you do with that conversation. Hmm. So a lot of the groups, even at Sadie Nash, there's always some sort of project that comes out of it. And it could be an advocacy piece, a policy piece.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So what has been one of the projects that you've worked on with the young women?
Yeah. Well, one of the things we're starting to work on right now is having a chance to tell their stories. And so a lot of these young women have gone through so many things that they want to just be able to share their story and need an outlet for that. So they're thinking of maybe coming up, and it's still in the formulation process, but they're thinking of coming up with little mini videos and having a chance to share it with other young teens in different high schools.
Interesting.
Yeah. And just, again, that going back to the idea that, you know, sharing your story to say that you're not alone and that if my story could possibly, you know, you could learn from something or even resonate with could be something that there's a positive, you know, either a change or influence or just solidarity.
Mm. So, Seema, that sounds amazing. And I'm sure the project will be fabulous when the girls finish it. Can you talk a little bit about, have you had opportunities for mentoring yourself or other ways in which you've been able to grow and express yourself?
Right. I think that's why I have taken a lot of classes. Mm. And also, I always try to support and go to as many performances or any experimental stuff that I see out there. And of course, New York City is perfect for that. So like the recent thing I went to was South Asian Women's Creative Collective. Mm. And they had a panel of women in comedy, which yeah. was amazing to see. And so I had a chance to kind of see some of the same stand-up comedians that I had heard about or had a chance to view. So I think those are definitely peers, but it's people to also see what they're doing and what they're working on, which is always exciting stuff. And definitely a lot of literature, poets and writers that I always like to support.
So I mean, it sounds like there is a vibrant community of South Asian women artists. Can you talk a little bit about what do you take away from that community? Like, how does it help you?
Mm-hmm.
Just to know.
Right. Yeah. It helps me in the sense that it's great to see the work that's being put out there. Hmm. And it helps me to also solidify in the passion that I want to also put my own voice out there, as well as mentor new voices. And it's that, so like one of the recent projects that I was working with is an organization called Q Up that is started by this amazing, fabulous producer and improvist as well named Nancy Kim. And it's a chance and an opportunity for Asian American young teens to expose themselves to theater for the first time. And so it's over a course of a week in their midwinter breaks. And it's just having them kind of explore different writing prompts. They always have at least four different teaching artists come and share their work. And then the end result is them producing their own work. And we actually get to be teaching artists to help them get to that level or even that place to perform.
That sounds amazing. So we're going to hear more about that performance and also just talk a little bit more about what it means to have a non-traditional career. But in the meantime, we're going to take a short commercial break and then we'll be right back.